Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes. And today we're going to talk about what the schedule is at the Academy. As far as we're going to go in detail, some detail, on the en route side. The terminal side, I don't have as much information, but never fear. I do have some people up there that I used to work with and that I also trained who are now instructors up there. So I can get that information should I need it, and should anyone want it ahead of time, want an idea of what the schedule is going to be like. So let's start with the basics course that you take before you actually start either the en route or the tower course itself. So basics, ever since COVID, has been done online. Pre-COVID, it was done in person in Oklahoma City. But post-COVID, it's been done online. And the information I have is that it is 19 days. That's business days. So you're talking 4 weeks. And it is pass-fail. You do have to pass a test at the end of it in order to go on to the terminal track or the en route track. So 4 weeks, and that's going to start back up being live in Oklahoma City. The information I have says the terminal track is then 37 business days. So that's going to be, what, 7.5 weeks, give or take holidays or bad weather days that get thrown in there that could extend it. But you're looking at just short of 8 weeks for the tower. The en route track is a full 60 days, so 12 weeks. Could be a little bit more because of holidays and or bad weather days, things like that. You can expect it normally to be right around 12 weeks. And so what happens is after you pass that initial basics test, the next day you start, or actually I'm not sure it's the next day. They usually give you about a week in between. And if you're in Oklahoma City, they still pay you while you're there. I think once they get back to being in Oklahoma City, there'll be a lot less time in between when you take that final test for basics and when you start either en route or terminal. But for now, they do give you some time in between to travel and things like that. But once you do get to Oklahoma City, day one, you will get an overview. Everybody will introduce themselves. You'll get some people from the FAA come in and talk to you. You'll get a briefing on your travel documents and stuff like that, and how to do your receipts and when to expect payments for those. And all that, as an instructor, we didn't get into that very much. We basically just played a video or sat there while someone came in and talked to you in person. But that's the first day. And then second day, we actually start in the map. We give you a bunch of material day one. And then we start into learning the Aero Center airspace on day two. Now, the map test is going to be on day 12, according to my information. And so you've got basically just a little bit over 2 weeks to learn the map. And believe me, we give you plenty of time in class, at the end of class. The schedule actually calls for several hours of map study. And we usually get through the lessons a little bit quicker than the FAA thinks we will. And that's a good thing because you get to study your map during the extra time that we have. And so you have plenty of time to study the map. 2 weeks may not sound like a whole lot, but it generally is quite a bit of time. You can expect or plan, or your goal for the map test is to make at the very least 90 on it. but you want to be in the mid to high 90s. You want to have at least a 95, if not getting 100 on it. A lot of students will average in that 95 to 100 range. So that'll be day 12 for the MAP test. And then you keep going through lessons. You've got two or three lessons most days. Every once in a while, you have a longer lesson that will take at least one day, if not part of 2 days. And then, so you have the MAP test day 12. You have the CKT-1, which is the controller knowledge test, number one, on day 21. And it actually happens while you are in the doing the non-radar practice problems, the non-radar scenarios. So it's very important that you know what's coming up and that you plan for what's coming up. On one hand, you do need to study for the CKT-1. But on the other hand, you're trying to learn the non-radar procedures and learn from the scenarios, and you're trying to practice those at the same time. And so it's really a question of time management and managing how much time you're spending studying for the CKT test and how much time you're studying and practicing the non-radar problems. Because I will tell you that a general rule of thumb is that it's going to take you, if you have no prior experience in non-radar, and this is applies to you even if you have radar experience or tower experience, and you're going into the en route option and you're in non-radar, it is different. So it is going to take anywhere, I would say, from 40 to 100 hours of practice to become fairly proficient at it. Okay? Now, you're running, when you get into the non-radar labs, you're running three problems a day as the controller, and you're running three problems a day as the remote. So even if you count that remote time, each problem is about 45 minutes. And so that ends up being what, not quite 5 hours worth of practice in the lab at the academy. And you're talking the non-radar labs are going to take 2 weeks, so it's basically 10 days. That's 40 hours right there. And I can almost guarantee you, well, I can guarantee you, that it's going to take more than that amount of studying to become proficient at non-radar. You're going to have to study, I would say, at least that same number of hours outside of class to become proficient, where you can go into the eval day with some semblance of confidence, because it's going to be a stressful day. And very rarely have I seen anyone come out of it unscathed. And by unscathed, I mean no one is going to run two perfect problems. I would challenge any of your instructors to run a perfect non-radar problem. They can, but if they were under pressure, which means it's pretty much going to be a multi-$1,000 bet on whether or not they can get through it with no errors and score 100 on it, that's about the only way you can put pressure on them. I would challenge them. I could find something that they did wrong, either strip marking or phraseology or something that they did wrong, because it's not easy to do, and especially it's not easy when you don't have experience. So what that practicing does is it gives you that experience. It gives you that confidence. You run even a close to perfect problem in those later problems, say from problem 17 through 27. If you can run
a semblance of a perfect problem on any of those, then you should have confidence going into the non-radar evals, because that's going to be the level of them from about 16, 17 on up. 23 is a different kind of animal. You shouldn't get an eval problem that's anything like problem 23 in the scenarios. And they have reduced that down from what it was when I first got there. It was almost undoable. So you have to practice, but then you have to manage that time practicing with time studying for the test, because the tests are important. The CKT1 is worth 4 points. The MAP test is worth 2 points. It may not sound like much, but when you come down to the end and you need those points, you want those points. And my theory is, don't let the FAA keep any points, okay? It's your job to take every point the FAA is going to give you. And these tests are the FAA's attempt to give you 20 points, because they're going to be 20 points worth of tests while you're in the en route at the academy. So the CKT1 will come on day 21. So it's about 4 weeks in, a little bit more than 4 weeks. And it's right in the middle of your non-radar scenarios. It's towards the beginning of them, so you do have time after that CKT1 to really concentrate on the non-radar. So you go through that. The non-radar evals are on day 29, so almost halfway through the 60 days, you'll have non-radar evals. You'll run two evals that day. Everyone will run two. They used to have you remote, but while I was there, they changed over to having professional remotes. And so that was a lot better, I think. So you didn't have to worry as much about remoting the non-radar problems. But the next day after the non-radar evals, you're back learning new stuff. You get a new book. It's a radar book. They were doing things digitally on iPads. I'm not sure if they still have the iPads. They may have it where you can download it on your electronic devices.
Hey there, future air traffic controllers. Are you feeling the pressure of the FAA Academy? Or are you about to head to the Academy? We've got something you can't do without. We have come up with our top 10 tips for success at the FAA Air Traffic Control Academy. That's right, 10 tips for success, and they are yours free. All you have to do is go to sidebysideatc.com/success and sign up to receive your free guide. Again, all you have to do is go to sidebysideatc.com/success, sign up with your email, and we will send you your free top 10 tips. Once you sign up, you'll be able to see our special free bonus as well. Are you ready for Academy success?
Hey there, everyone. I have another offer that we are ready to announce, and this is going to be our coaching program for students who are at the FAA Academy. And so what we're going to offer is a weekly 30-minute to an hour one-on-one live coaching session with me each week. Okay, that's what weekly means. And then a weekly group live coaching session where you and others can get together, ask me questions, and we can kind of Q&A for 45 minutes to an hour, okay? So a free weekly one-on-one live coaching session that will be tailored just for each one of you. And then a live group coaching session once a week, okay? Then we're going to offer a much larger group live session, webinar, if you want to call it, that's going to cover time management, stress relief, and things that you can do for that, and another Q&A session. I really want you guys to know that we want to be there. I want to be there with you every week, every day if I have to. And then as an added bonus for this, and this is very important, on your eval days, both non-radar and radar, you have the opportunity on each of those days to file a TR, which is a technical review, and you can try to get points back that you don't think they should have counted off. Well, the only problem is you guys are alone on your eval days. Your lead and A lead can't really help you. You can't ask them questions. Now, there are times when we kind of skirt that when I was there, okay? But what I'm offering you is the ability to text me live in real time on your eval days if you have questions about your run. And if I think that a text isn't good enough and we need a phone call, we'll set up a phone call so that you can determine if you need to do a TR. I'll have the SOPs, I'll have the LOAs, and I will be able to tell you, given the situation, number one, if I would file a TR, and number two, how to file it and what the reference needs to be. Okay? So that's an added bonus. Now, how much is this going to cost? Nothing. You heard that right. Since we're starting, we're going to offer a limited time 14-day free trial. You don't need a credit card to sign up. Nothing. Just sign up. I'll tell you where in just a minute. So, 14-day free trial. If during the 14 days, we're going to have different prices, and it may be confusing, so I'll have a website for you to go to that'll explain it in detail. It'll probably be a little bit easier than me trying to explain it right now. But 14-day free trial. You don't need a credit card. If you wait until the end of that free trial to sign up, it'll cost $900 for the rest of your time at the academy, no matter where you are. Now, think about it. If you only have 2 weeks left at the academy and you're in the radar labs, it's not going to cost you a thing. And you get free live one-on-one coaching, live group coaching, and access to me during your evals for nothing, for free. Will not cost you a thing. Okay? If you sign up, if you think this is going to be something that you want to take advantage of, if you sign up before you start that free 14 days, it's only going to cost you $375. I don't care if you're on day one. I don't care if you're in basics. $375 for the 3 months. If you wait till the end of the 2 weeks, it's going to be $900 for that same period of time. And then there'll be different stages in between, depending on when you choose to sign up. So I want to offer this to you. I truly believe that if you have a coach on your side helping you during this 3 month job interview that the academy is, that we can increase your score 10, 15, maybe even 20 points by the end of the academy. And so that's the offer. That's the coaching program that we're coming up with. And in order to access that, you need to go to www. Yes, I know no one puts that in, but unfortunately my website host is requiring it unless you're on Safari, and you can delete it if you're using Safari. But www.sidebysideatc.com/coach. Okay, I'll say that again. www.sidebysideatc.com/coach. and you can sign up for the free 14-day trial of our coaching program. This is the same coaching program that later on, the full price is about $2,500. We will probably offer it for sale in another few weeks at $1,950. That's not $19.50. That's $1,950. Okay, so get it now while it is drastically reduced. Okay, we're going to be going through this together. I've been through the academy, and I want to get you through the academy. But we're going to, since you're going to help me start this coaching program, I'm going to offer it at up to 85% off. That's huge. So sign up. I'll say it again. www.sidebysideatc.com/coach. And I hope to see you. And I hope that you will finally get to see the man behind the voice on the podcast.
So the radar starts with day 30. And you have a test on day 33. It's the aircraft characteristics test. It is basically memorizing a chart that, believe it or not, a student came up with to help him study for the aircraft characteristics test. And everybody got a copy of it somehow, some way. The FAA wasn't handing it out. But then eventually the FAA, while I was up there in Oklahoma City, they decided if everybody's got it, we'll just make it part of what we hand out. So they would hand out the chart that you would have to memorize. And then they would, initially, they gave you a blank sheet of paper when you took the test. And then you could recreate the chart on the paper. And if you were able to do it and put everything that was on the chart on that sheet of paper, you were going to make 100 on the test because it had all the answers. Okay. So I have seen some evaluators come in and allow the students to have a piece of paper that already had the grid on it for the chart. I don't know if they're still doing that. They may be. So the aircraft characteristics, believe it or not, it's 4 points. Take the 4 points. Make sure you get 100 on it. There's no reason to give points back on that test. It's like I said, it's 4 days into the radar, so it's fairly early in your radar journey, okay? So you're going through radar, and then eventually you get to the CKT2 test, which, believe it or not, that's the controller knowledge test. It is radar and non-radar. Make sure you don't forget the non-radar stuff because you will be tested on it. Now, most of the leads do have some study material that they will go over with you the afternoon or evening before the test. And they will do a review. It's pretty much standard practice. And most of the leads have a really thorough list that they have compiled over the years of what's on the test. So take notes. A lot of the tests come from the end of lesson tests for every lesson. So keep those, don't throw them away, and use those to study. So CK2 will be on day 39. So it's 10 days in to the radar. And that one is worth 5 points. Just had to check my notes. It's worth 5 points. And right after that, you start getting into computer message, which is learning in the classroom, learning how to do stuff on the keyboard in the lab. So they've got it set up where they'll run just little things, and you'll have an instructor with you. They'll be sitting there and telling you to do things and do this and do this and do this, and so you learn how to do it. Okay, and so that's very important before you go into the radar labs.
So you'll have about 3 days of that with some more lessons. They give you a lesson on scanning. The lesson on scanning is not great. You really have to develop your own technique. All your instructors that you work with in the lab will have their own technique. We all as controllers have our own technique for scanning. You have to develop one yourself. It's just something you have to do. You have to look at, you want to spend most of your time looking at the radar. You're going to have a computer screen in front of you called your EDST. You're going to have that, and it's going to have all the flight plan information, and it's a very important screen. And as the D side, that's the one that's in front of you. That is not the most important screen in the sector. The most important screen is the radar, because the radar is what is happening right that moment. The EDST, the computer screen in front of you, is what's going to happen in the future. Now, using that as a tool, you can influence what happens right now. Okay, by making moves, taking care of conflicts, you can make what happens on the radar much smoother. Okay, but as far as scanning, your attention mainly needs to be focused on the radar. I used to tell my classes, look at it this way. The radar is your windshield, your EDST, and your strip bay, and everything else, the printer. They're your gauges, your rear view mirror, your side mirrors. Okay? Now, don't try this, please. If you were to try and drive and you had one of those sunscreens on your windshield and you left it up and you just tried to drive using your side mirrors, your rear view mirror, and your gauges, you're not going to get very far. On the other hand, if you only look out the windshield and never look at your side mirrors, your rearview mirror, or your gauges, you may not get very far because you may be pulled over for speeding, you may run out of gas, there's all sorts of things that can happen. It's all about a continuous scan. And we all know when we drive that it's scanning. It's, you know, main focus is out the front windshield because that's what's coming at you. The rearview mirror is what's behind you. Side mirrors, they're great because you get to see who's beside you. Okay, that's important to know. And then your gauges, you want to check how fast you're going. You want to check how much gas you got. You know, we've got tire sensors now on all the tires, so you know if you're starting to have a flat. It's all important, and it's all part of your scan. And that's the same thing you have in air traffic control when you're working a radar sector. So it's fairly important. The lesson that the FAA has is not that great, like I said, but it's important to kind of get into a routine. And there again, the more you do it, the more you practice. And I know you're saying, how do I practice radar when I'm at home or when I'm in my apartment or my hotel room? Well, you can't, but you can practice other things. And you can practice in a little mini lab that they have set aside where you can practice keyboard entries and stuff like that. Get used to looking at different monitors in that lab. Okay, have someone going beside you and y'all are looking and paying attention to each other's screen while you're working on your own. Okay, so there are things that you can do that will help you. And so you have the CK2, like I said, that's on day 39. And then you start getting into the lab around day 42. So that's a little over 8 weeks that you've been at the academy. And I will tell you, your days in the lab, it's about 3 weeks. It's 16 days, so it's a little over 3 weeks. That 3 weeks is going to go by faster than any 3 weeks you have ever spent in your life before. It goes by fast. They bring you along pretty well. It's pretty well thought out. They give you new information at the end of every day, new stuff to do, new stuff to see. And then the next day, they come in and reinforce it and show you different ways that that could come up. And then the third run, you run three runs every day. The third run will be new stuff. And when you're not doing a run in the radar lab, you'll be in the breakout room talking to one of your instructors, and they'll be prepping you for the new things that are coming up. Not necessarily the things you learned the day before, but the new things that are coming up at the end of that day. And so you go through that. You have a checklist eval that comes, I think it's right around problem 10, between 10 and 11. And it's a five-pointer. Get the 100. Take the 5 points. It's stuff you need to know how to do. About the hardest thing in there is you're going to put in four flight plans. You're going to do 4, 6, 7, 10s, which you may not have any idea what those are now. But once you get used to them, they're not difficult. You need to know how to put in a flight plan, because you're going to have to do that in the radar eval when it's worth more points. Okay? So, the CKT is worth 5. The checklist is worth 5. Take the 5 points, especially from the checklist. It's hard to get 100 on the CKT, too. It really is, because it's a fairly comprehensive test. But your goal should be to get 100, okay? Your goal is not to just get 70s on everything and pass. Your goal is to pass well, so that you can go into those last 2 days of the evals with as many points as you can get. That way, if you have a bad run, you can recover. Okay? And I've known guys, matter of fact, the son of a couple that worked at Forest Center. He was doing really well. He had one bad run, got a 0 or a 3, something like that. Still passed. He didn't get to go where he really wanted to go because of that one run, but he was able to pass because he had done enough beforehand that he was able to deal with that and still get the job. And that's the important part. And so you're going to, the radar evals are 3 days. No, they're 2 days. My sheet was a little confusing, but it's 3 evals over 2 days. You'll either run 2 the first day, 1 the second day, or you'll run 1 the first day and 2 the second day. You get to run the third run as long as you have a chance of passing. If at any time you do no longer have a chance of passing with a perfect score, you will be asked to leave. Generally, that won't happen after the first run. It may happen after the second run. And then, of course, it may happen after your third one. I don't think you can pass after the first run. No. But you can pass after the second run. Okay? So, I think you can have 34 points going in. Let me check my math here real quick. 5, 10, 14, 21, 28, 32, 34 points. You want to have over 30 points out of the 34 going into the radar evals if you can. That's a really good position to be in. I've seen people go in with 33 point something. And, of course, they did pass. Now, I have seen students go in with almost 30 points and not make it. So it's not a given, but you want as many points as you can. There are 66 points in those 3 radar evals that are left, and you don't want to need to get 80s and 90s on those, on all 3 of them. And just look at it this way. It's 66 points, and if you multiply that out by 3, you need like 180, 190. And so if you get 90, you know, you're doing pretty good. So they are what they are. I have never known a student that was not nervous going into those. It's just a way of life. It's going to happen. You will be nervous. And I mentioned on an earlier podcast that I would be worried about you if you were not nervous. If you're not nervous going into any of the evals, then to me that means it just doesn't mean as much to you as it should, or maybe as it needs to. If you're nervous, it just means that it's important to you. And the only way to really combat those nerves is to be as prepared as you can. And that's where, you know, I mentioned studying and practicing in non-radar. Well, you have to practice in radar as well. Practice the phraseology. Give each other situations. And practice the point-out phraseology. Practice the clearance phraseology. Practice the clearance for making apparatus. You know, practice everything you can possibly think of, because there again, to become proficient, it's going to take a certain number of hours of practice. And I can guarantee you, you're not going to get the hours you need if you just rely on your time at the academy in the building. It's not enough time. You have to practice. You have to study. And so that's where time management becomes such a huge issue. Anything that you can do to help with time management, anything you can do to help with relieving stress. For me, a great stress relief is to go out and hit golf balls. I picture someone's face on the golf ball, and it's amazing how much therapy you can get just from hitting golf balls. So keep all that in mind. It is a long 12 weeks. You can't pass the first month, but you can lay the foundation for passing. You can lay the foundation for failing in the first month. So don't treat any of the days as a day off. They're all important. It's all important information. Some of it, I will admit, is more important than others, but it's all important information. And so hopefully I've given you an idea of what the schedule is like. It's, like I said, you get into the radar lab and the days go by very quickly. And you have to stay ahead of the program. It's possible to stay ahead of the program. But if you fall behind and you start having to, you're trying to figure out what happened 2 and 3 days ago, and you're not able to pay attention to what happened today, and now you're behind, it's going to snowball. And it's very difficult to dig out of that once it starts. So stay ahead of the program. Stay ahead. Look ahead at what is coming up the next day. Plan for it. Prepare for it. And you can pass. The academy is very, 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 I will say this again, it is very, very, very passable. My belief is that everyone has the opportunity to pass the academy. Not everyone will. And some personalities find it more difficult to traverse the academy than others. But I don't know that there is a particular person, a particular background, a particular way of thinking that makes you more prepared or less prepared for the academy. I've had this discussion with people I work with now, and it's an interesting theoretical discussion. It doesn't really mean much to you if you're going through the academy. Or if you're wanting to go through academy, the theory of whether or not everyone can pass, you know, it doesn't mean a whole lot. What matters is, can I pass? Well, I will tell you, with the right planning, with the right support and with the right mindset and with the right drive, yes, you can pass the academy. And so I'll leave it with that. I think we're going to go, I'll be putting out another podcast this Thursday. I think this will be my last Monday podcast. Unless I get a lot more questions, or if you guys want me to continue with twice a week, I think I'm going to go to once a week. We are going to start offering the coaching program, so that's going to cut down on my available time to do these podcasts. So, but if you guys do want two a week, I'll keep doing two a week. We'll just leave it up to you guys. And so, thank you very much again for listening. If you can, hit subscribe, hit like, give us a review. 5 stars, please. As Dave Ramsey says, my mama said, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything. So we'll take 5-star reviews. I don't mind stealing stuff from Dave Ramsey. But thank you so much for listening to these podcasts. I really appreciate it. And hopefully it's been something that you can use and something that you you need. And if you have friends that are thinking about becoming an air traffic controller, then send them the podcast. And again, thank you so much. And until we get to see each other again, you guys have a great day and a great week. And we'll talk to you later. Bye.